Course in the control and investigation of drug precursors. My name is Raimundo Alvarino, and I am responsible for providing all the training related to drafting an inspection report. Based on 5 years of experience carrying out this type of activity with various operators mainly related to drug precursors and also specifically with explosive precursors. What is the index of this topic, of this presentation? Well, it is very clear and is divided into three parts, which you can see here on the screen. The first thing is to know and be perfectly clear about the objectives of the inspection activity. When we go to the operator, what we intend to achieve, what we want, the main objectives. Next, we will see how an inspection report is drafted from start to finish, with all its sections, from the heading to the moment of signing, when the inspection is considered complete. And finally, I will offer you, from my personal perspective and experience, my final recommendation, which is drawn from many years of practice and which I believe will be useful to you. And what are the objectives of the inspection activity? There are two, and they are clearly differentiated. On the one hand, the verification of compliance with the current 2001 regulations in each of the places to which we belong or to which the operator belongs. If we make the absolute effort to divert resources, transfer them to the company's headquarters, verify the information, check the stock, check the products, and then do meticulous work analyzing the documentation that we have taken and transferred to our unit's headquarters. The least we need to obtain is the certainty or acquire the knowledge of whether that operator, that user, is complying with the current regulations. And we need to be clear about that. That is, let's say, the formal objective. But there is an objective just as important as the first one that we cannot consider a formal objective, but it is of vital importance. The second objective, once we have moved to the company's headquarters, is to establish such a level of trust with the person representing the company that they can understand the explanations we provide regarding the criminal and administrative consequences, the outcome of allowing or turning a blind eye to the illicit diversion of drug precursors, how psychotropic substances and drugs are manufactured, and the impact this has on society. Once that knowledge has been attained and is clear, it is necessary to continue deepening that close, personal relationship we have established during the inspection, which usually lasts several hours, to obtain that relationship that ensures that when the company representative becomes aware of an attempt at irregular purchase, a suspicious transaction, something that catches their attention, or even a simple doubt, they have enough confidence to contact us and know that on the other end of the phone there will be a friendly voice to answer their questions, to help them, to assist them, to accompany them, to support them. In this way, if we act in this manner, if this is our usual procedure, over time we will tend to weave a network of collaborators, informants, and contacts in the various companies within our jurisdiction for which we are responsible, which will allow us to find out in real time about anything out of the ordinary that occurs. This knowledge has a very, very extensive value and is fundamental for subsequent actions, regardless of formal compliance verifications or not. Now that we are clear on the objectives of the inspection activity, how do we know who is obliged to undergo it? Well, it's very simple. They are divided into two categories: operators and users, but both have common characteristics, which are, if a natural person, 2001 or legal entity, either of the two, natural or legal, carries out sporadic or regular activities for a fee or free of charge of the following activities that I am going to list, which I will read to you to avoid the risk of missing any. We will be dealing with an obliged subject. These activities include storage, usand, manufacturing, production, processing, trade, distribution, and brokerage. These are the activities, I repeat, because it is very important. Who are the subjects required to endure the inspection action? Those who carry out an activity regularly or sporadically, whether they are natural or legal persons, whether the activity is for profit or free of charge, and if it consists of any of the following that I am going to mention, we are dealing with a subject obliged. These activities include storage, manufacturing, production, processing, trade, distribution, and brokerage. The first of the categories, as we mentioned, is the operator. How do we know we are dealing with an operator? Well, it's quite simple. The main characteristic of the operator is that they place drug precursor substances on the market. And this activity is carried out, whether it is for a fee or free of charge. What do we mean when we say placing on the market? Well, when a supply activity occurs, if a supply activity occurs either free of charge or for a fee, we are clearly dealing with an operator. But also if an activity is carried out for a subsequent supply. For a subsequent supply, an activity is produced or an activity is carried out. I will read it to you to avoid mistakes of storage, manufacturing, production, processing, trade, or distribution. That is to say, when a company places drug precursor substances on the market, either free of charge or for a fee, we are dealing with an operator. What does it mean to place substances on the market? What is the bet in the market? Well, it's very simple. Two possibilities. Either the supply of said substances, or, for a subsequent supply, some preliminary activities of storage, manufacturing, production, processing, trade, or distribution. Having clarified when someone is an operator, when then are we dealing with a user? Well, it's very simple. As long as they do not place substances on the market, which eliminates the possibility of being an operator, we are dealing with a user when they carry out any of the following activities. I will read them to avoid making a mistake. Processing, sorry. Formulation, consumption. Very important, consumption, storage, preservation, treatment, packaging, decanting, mixing, transformation, or any other use that does not subsequently result in a supply. If we are faced with this, if we are faced with these circumstances, we can be certain that we are dealing with a user and not an operator. I repeat for clarity. When we are dealing with a natural or legal person who operates with listed substances and does not place them on the market, meaning they are not an operator, possesses the listed substance, and carries out some of the following activities that I will enumerate, we can be certain that we are dealing with a user. These activities would be processing, formulation, consumption, very important, storage, preservation, treatment, packaging, decanting, mixing, transformation, and ultimately, any other use that involves the possession of listed substances. Once we know and are clear about the figure of the obligated subject we are going to inspect, we must be perfectly clear about the legal instrument that enables us to carry out these inspection and control activities. It is also essential that we clearly understand, within the substances with which the operator works, their classification with respect to Schedules 1 and 2 of the United Nations Convention Against Illicit Traffic in Narcotic Drugs and Psychotropic Substances, which was published in 1988 or came into force in that year. Now that we are absolutely clear on who is obliged to undergo an inspection, let us proceed to study and understand how it is conducted. The first step is to contact the company representative, set an appointment, and attend on the agreed date and time. Once we arrive there, we must identify ourselves as law enforcement officers or as agents with legal authority to conduct the inspection by presenting our professional credentials. After the introductions and having identified ourselves, we must request the company representative to provide a place where we can lay out all the necessary material. For this, we must bring our laptop, stationery for taking notes, stationery such as highlighters, and anything else that might be necessary to thoroughly analyze the documentation shown to us and to clarify things. As we are going to draft the report using a laptop, it is very advisable to ensure that we have a power outlet or that this possibility is foreseen or considered. When we lack it, by using the fully charged laptop battery, we must leave our unit with all the material prepared, and this includes the fully charged laptop battery to be able to carry out the inspection and complete the report in case of any eventuality or problem. Once this is underway, we have set up the place, prepared the material, arranged the stationery, made the introductions, and everything is absolutely clear, we will begin drafting the report. You will see an example in the manual, and the report must be headed, without any doubt, with the legal authorization that allows us to carry out these actions, that is, with the applicable regulations in each of the countries, highlighting the article that indicates what powers and possibilities the inspection can exercise. Once the header, which includes the legal text and more specifically the article that authorizes our functions, has been formalized, we must proceed to describe the identifying data of the holder. This includes, on the one hand, the company name, which is the name of the operator, to ensure there is absolutely no doubt, and the tax identification number or the tax settlement number applicable in each country. This, combined with the previous information, will completely dispel any doubts and make it clear who we are dealing with and to whom we are conducting this inspection, as perfectly reflected in the report. Of all the identifying data we are mentioning, we must also be clear about the center of activity, with its postal address perfectly detailed and clear, so that no errors occur and everything is perfectly clear, leaving no possibility for repudiation or rejection of this report. Afterwards, we need to have the phone number perfectly clear and noted, with special mention, if possible, of the company representative to have both pieces of information. In the past, the fax number was displayed and the company continues to operate using this means of communication, as we also display it. Now that it is absolutely and practically obsolete, it is essential to have their email address. In order to send any type of communication or simply to keep it for the future, and to also complement the full identification tasks of the operator, if necessary, due to the type of substance they operate with, a legal registration or the issuance of a license is required, we must record in the report what the registration number or the license number that covers these activities is. Next, the following step is to provide a description of the facts, where we outline what we are doing. It begins by detailing the place of the inspection, that is, a typical wording would be the one I read to you below to avoid errors in the registered office and the center of activity of the operator mentioned in the heading of this report, Zweitausendein, it is indicated. And being the time of the start of the inspection is detailed on the day corresponding to the date of the inspection, the agents belonging to your unit, and citing their professional identification number. It is not necessary to provide your personal details, your first name, your surname. In fact, I strongly recommend that you do not do so and that you stick to showing your professional credentials through the corresponding number code. And from there, the instructions or the wording continue, indicating that the person is acting as a representative for the purposes of substances listed as drug precursors, with the corresponding wording for the said operator. from which point it begins and is indicated, thus proceeding to draw up the inspection report. Continuing with the drafting of the report, it is time to detail the activity, the constitution, the workforce, and the economic capacity of the operator. Detail of a very simple activity, mentioning within those activities we mentioned at the beginning, to discern the quality of operator or user. State what activities the inspected party carries out with respect to the listed substances. We make it perfectly clear and present it in a reasoned and understandable manner so that no doubts arise. We discuss when the company was established, indicating or noting this information once we have consulted with the company. Representative. We will talk about the workforce, the total number of employees, including yourself, because even if you are the owner or manager, we include you, the total number of owners, and then it is very important, what was the turnover in the last year? This last fact, this circumstance, is referred to as the economic capacity of the operator, and comes from the user and is noted, we must note it, as it will give us an indication of the economic management. They have the economic capacity they have when it comes to subsequently complying with a possible sanction if an infringement were to occur. The term of capacity or the detail of the economic capacity of the offender when proposing a sanction is crucial, as it must ensure a truly punitive effect for the infractions. It should not be too lenient for someone with significant economic capacity, nor too harsh for other companies that do not actually have it. Next, we will discuss in more detail how to handle the documentation. We will be drafting, we will be analyzing consecutively. And, in a perfectly organized manner, the series of circumstances that I am going to mention. First, a detailed list of the substances must be made, clearly indicating which category each one belongs to and what use is made of each of them. Next, we will discuss in detail the commercial purchasing operations, outlining all of them in general terms to get an approximate idea of the volume of purchases made by this obligated party. This will give us the scope to later have the ability to select more detailed operations and compare them with sales to ensure everything matches perfectly. We will discuss what type of operations it has, whether it only acquires its products from one supplier or from several, what substances from each of the suppliers, and how it stores the substances. We will discuss what the security measures are, and if there has, in any event, any circumstance of a theft, a disappearance. And we will place special emphasis on asking if this circumstance has been communicated to the authorities. If it has been done, there is a record of it, and if it has not been done, we must question very deeply why, what is the reason for not having communicated it, for not having informed the authorities. These events have indeed occurred. Next, we will discuss what the circumstances are, what the consequences are of not reporting these events, including thefts, disappearances, and suspicious purchase attempts. All these types of circumstances must have, as we mentioned at the beginning, within objective number 2, which is to achieve a high level of awareness on the part of the company representative, a connection, relationship that allows us to earn them as a source for us, someone who will provide us with quality information, ensure, or find out why this has not happened, or if it is clear that when it does happen, they need to inform us. Following this, we will conduct a physical inspection of all the facilities. We will see in the warehouses what quantity of product is stored in each of the categories. We will record and note down circumstance by circumstance, substance by substance, exactly what quantities are handled of each one in the different stages or phases of their treatment or processing, to have everything perfectly clear. and we will need to verify by requesting the stock in a documented manner. We will need to verify if the stock that we have confirmed to be present in the physical facilities matches the one we have subsequently acquired at a documentary level. To obtain the exact stock, to see if it is correctly reflected, and if it is being stored properly, the indicated way to do this is to request the stock. Request the stock data as of the 1st of January of the current year, of the previous year, of a calendar year. Request the data of all acquisitions made during this time and sum them up. Add to the number of products at the beginning of the year the total number of products purchased during the year, and then subtract the products that have been supplied, processed, or treated in such a way that the resulting number should accurately reflect what is currently in the facilities, premises, or, if referring to the previous year, the stock declared as of the 31st of December. This is how it is done, and all kinds of errors can be avoided, allowing for a decisive control of stock both at the documentary level and in terms of storage, which must perfectly match. Once we have finished, we make some final observations in the report and provide the result of the inspection. The result of the inspection, once verified, reviews the activities of the operator used and examines exactly everything that has been recorded. We verify point by point each of the circumstances we have addressed to ensure they correspond exactly with what we have obtained and dealt with during the inspection. Do we have any doubts, or are we unable to see everything at the moment? No problem at all. We request all the documentation we need, take it back to our unit, and there, carefully and calmly, with several colleagues, we study it to ensure everything is correct. Once we have done this, we will be fully aware of whether an infringement has actually occurred or not, or if we meet objective number one, if the subject of the inspection complies with the first objective, which would be to verify compliance with the current regulations. That said, and in relation to this, I would like to offer a final recommendation. The final recommendation, obtained after years of experience and practice of many inspections, is under no circumstances should you commit to anything during the inspection by reflecting it in the report, neither in one way nor the other. You should not detail any infractions in the report, as you may not have had time to verify all the documentation and data that has been taken, and you will do so later at the unit. Nor should you state that no infraction has occurred, because later, as a result of that detail, that inspection, that direct and detailed observation of the documentation we have taken, you may reach the opposite conclusion. Therefore, my final recommendation, based on experience, is not to make any binding categorical statements in the report, neither to the effect that violations have occurred, nor that they have not. This will allow them to have their hands free to then make the appropriate decisions based on the study of the documentation they have taken to their unit. With this, I bid you farewell, but not without first thanking you for taking the time to listen to me, and in the trust or hope that these lessons, these pieces of advice, these ideas, may be of use to you in the near future in the performance of your professional activity, and that they may be of some value to you. Thank you very much, and stay motivated. Keep going with energy and strength with this course, which I am sure will be very beneficial for you in the future.